Talking the best in local and regional sports.
We just got to stop that little inside trap. You know, the option didn't hurt us much. We played pretty hard. We just got to stop that inside thing. Offensively, we kind of sputtered around. Got the ball in the end zone.
It's Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Oh, we're going to go play. We just got to keep playing.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. It is always a pleasure, especially on the eve of the NFL draft, to bring in Buddy Nix, the former UTC football coach, former GM of the Buffalo Bills, and assistant GM of the then San Diego Chargers. He's down outside of Atlanta watching a grandson play some ball today. Buddy, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good to talk to you guys.
Always great to talk to you. All right, Buddy, first off, when you think about Nashville hosting this thing and they're rolling out country music acts, they've got other music acts. I mean, this thing has become an absolute spectacle. What do you remember about the first draft you attended? Did you get the opportunity to attend drafts, or were you always at your war room at your respective NFL team?
You know, really, none of the teams go to the draft. Everybody thinks they do, but they're in their war room at their headquarters, and that's where we were. We sent an equipment guy or maybe a security guy as a kind of a reward. We'd pick somebody in the building, and they'd go pull the tag for us and turn in the name. But everything's done by phone.
Interesting. Okay. You know, you always hear about the war rooms. How intense does it get when you go, when you want player A and somebody else in the organization wants player B?
Well, you got that worked out now before that happens. I tell you the way I did it, and I think it's kind of the way I learned. But we always, if we were picking the Bills this year, or picking ninth, we put nine guys up there in order, and we took, if number one was left when number nine come up, our pick, we took one. If they went all the way through to nine and nine was there, we took nine. So it was not much drama in it by the time it got to the draft.
Buddy, on the eve of the draft, you've got fans that are maybe just delving into it with interest for the first time, even though there's been months of buildup. What position group is really strong in this class, in this draft, and what position group do you think is really weak in this draft?
You know, I think that I think basically that the offensive line is the biggest, got the most numbers of players that can play. I think the defensive line has got the probably the game changers, and they'll go early because there's not that many of them. But the weakest place to me in looking at it is probably at linebacker, what you have to have at linebacker now. Linebackers are more important than they used to be. Football kind of goes in cycles, and used to, when I first started out in the league, we had 250-pound middle linebackers, and now they're guys that weigh 218 that can run 4.35, that can cover. So those kind of guys are just coming into vogue, and you don't have many of them.
Buddy, of course, one of the big questions, and they're two totally different style players, Kyler Murray, Drew Lock. Which quarterback do you like more and why?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I like both those guys, but I'm a big man guy. I'm not much on small guys in the NFL. Now, they're exceptions. But it's a big man's game, and it gets bigger every year. To me, if you'll look back at the drafts I've had, if I made a mistake on a guy, it wasn't because he was too little. might be something else wrong with him, but and I love little guys. We've had a bunch. I drafted Drew Brees, and Drew says he's 6 feet. He's close. We had Doug Flutie twice. It saved our job twice. He saved us one time in Buffalo, and we brought him to San Diego, and he saved us long enough for 2 years to draft Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees. And so they're exceptions, and I love those guys, but I wouldn't draft one in the first round.
You're listening to Buddy Nix, the former UTC football coach, former GM of the Buffalo Bills, and assistant GM of the then San Diego Chargers. You're listening to Buddy here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
All right, Coach. A lot of the guys in the business now, especially our side of the business, call this lying season, the week or so leading up to the draft. What is the biggest lie you told leading up to a draft that you can recall?
Well, first of all, it's not a sin to lie the week of the draft.
Exactly right. The Lord gives you a pass this week. Exactly
yeah,
right.
It's right. It's a grace period, and you can say whatever you want to. Now, I guess the furthest thing that I've ever told from the truth was the year we took Eli and traded him for Philip Rivers. And, you know, I said right before our pick that we would not take a quarterback. And quarterbacks is all we're looking at. So you just, you know, you throw it out there and hope somebody reels it in.
Now, you've been doing this for a long time, but you also were right there neck deep in the rise of all of the social media and all the things that go on with this. And part of that has been mock drafts. Who among the mock draft, quote-unquote, experts, in your experience, is the best?
I don't think any of them are any good. I don't believe anybody gets close. And it's impossible. You can't a guy gets 6 or 7 out of 32. He's probably, in fact, the guy, I heard somebody say the other day that the best pick last year got 8 out of 32. Now, that won't even get you much if you're batting average in baseball.
So nope.
I don't put any stock in mock drafts at all. We read them as entertainment, but we didn't pay attention to those guys. Those guys, listen, it's easy to pick a guy and give all kind of reasons as long as you're not accountable. You're not going to get fired if he don't make it. Now, if you put those guys under the gun, you might get a different pick.
No, that's great stuff, and thanks, because you've been on the other side of it that so few of us could even imagine. And let me ask you this, though. With the changing game and the changing scope of salaries, would you be shocked if somebody like the Cowboys, the Titans, or the Buccaneers moved into the back of round one to take a quarterback, considering they've got a quarterback currently, but they don't have a long-term agreement with that quarterback?
You know, I think that has a lot to do with it now. I mean, you look at the trade Seattle just made. They franchised the rush guy, their edge rusher.
Frank Clark.
They did it knowing. Yeah, they did it knowing that they were going to get a trade for the guy, because you can't sign him, and he's already such a hit on you that if you got to pay that much money for 1 year, you need to get rid of him now so you can get more for him. And it figures in a lot, and that's what people don't understand about the business. But you go into it with the idea of how you're going to build your team and how long it's going to take. Most people like us, and that's the reason I think the draft this year will be so heavy up front. You build from the front back defensively. We did always tried to get the defensive linemen and the pass rushers and then go secondary and the linebackers. But this year you'll probably see 7 out of the top 10 guys picked be defensive guys.
You're listening to Buddy Nix, the former UTC football coach who also served as Bills general manager and San Diego Chargers assistant general manager. You're listening to Buddy here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Buddy, I do want to ask you about UTC. I remember we had Russ Huseman on like a couple of years ago, and he was talking about how in 1 August, there were like 7 or 8 former UTC players in NFL camps, and that was a pretty good number. Not all of them made rosters, obviously, but you coached at UTC. You've been on both sides of the coin of this. Is it harder or easier compared to when you joined? I mean, when you coached UTC for a mock player to make an NFL roster, do you think, or is it about the same?
Well, I think it's probably a little harder because of so much more skill, better coaching on the younger level, getting them ready quicker. I tell you what, though, we were fortunate. The 9 years I was here, I think we had 1 or 2 players go into the NFL and make a team every year. So Russ is right. I mean, if a guy's a good player, it don't matter where he's playing. The NFL will find you.
The other thing I want to ask you about that is it's no secret Alabama has been the king of stockpiling NFL players in recent years, but how many inroads has Clemson made in that category when you consider it looks like Alabama and Clemson are going to battle it out this year, and Clemson has already have the number one class in the 2020 cycle, at least right now. How much of an inroad has Clemson made on gaining on Alabama in terms of being the king of stockpiling talent?
To be honest with you, now I'm a Southeastern Conference guy and I'm a Southern guy, but I'd say Clemson's even with Alabama. Now, they just keep reloading. They brought in young defensive linemen this year. They lost all these guys. Two of them today will go in the first round on the defensive front. And those guys, they're just like Alabama. They just reload every year. It doesn't matter how many they lose. They're going to replace them with just as good or better.
All right, buddy. You know, when we love having you and we love closing with a full court, I mean, top of the head, what do we call it? Rapid fire. Rapid fire. I lost my train of thought there. But you ready to play?
Oh, sure.
All right. Who is the best player in this draft, regardless of position?
I would guess Williams at Alabama, Quinnen Williams,
okay.
Defensive lineman.
What is the one time that sticks out most when I say you were about to be on the clock and somebody stole your pick?
Listen, that's the worst feeling there is. I mean, that's the reason you got to have the next pick ready. I did that one time in San Diego. We were picking 28. We were going to pick a linebacker from Oregon. And then we said, no way anybody else will take him in the first round. The Packers took him, and we weren't ready. We took a corner from Texas A&M that couldn't play dead because we panicked, and we had 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Hell, I'd never let that happen to me again.
All right, buddy, when it's in that war room and things are getting nervous after that first round comes and goes, what's your go-to snack food when you're in the war room?
Hey, listen, they got stuff all in that place, but I never was. I couldn't eat during that night. Now, I didn't snack. I let somebody else handle that. I'd have been sick if I'd eaten anything.
Best pick in the history of the draft?
Goodness, I'd say probably Tom Brady. I don't know how you could argue with getting a guy like Tom Brady in the fifth pick, which tells you that they got lucky, but I don't see how you could go any further than him. I'd say he's the most important draft pick ever, maybe.
All right, does the NFL have it right, buddy, with 7 rounds, or would you change it? And if so, what number would you put it at?
Yeah, you know, when we started out, there was 12, and
right.
One time there was 15 or something, you know, but I think 7's good. I'll tell you why, is I think after the 7th round, one of our biggest days was Sunday night. As soon as the seventh round last pick was made, every scout we had and all of us, we had a list of our needs, and we were on the phone with the agent and the player, and we gave whatever money it took to sign those college free agents. And listen, we had a lot of success with those guys. You can make your team on Sunday night. 7 is, it's not over at 7. Sometimes we'd need 20 college free agents, and we'd get 4 or 5 good players out of the bunch.
Now, in all your time in the front office, do you miss being a GM on tomorrow night more than any other night?
You know, I loved everything about the job. I enjoyed the competition. I loved Sundays. I enjoyed lining up and playing and trying to win the game. But I guess if you had to pick one day, that'd be it, because – the challenge in that job is being able to build a team from the ground up and build a winner. And I also always like being in control. And when you're in that position on that day, you're in control.
Buddy, listen, great stuff as always. You are always such a treat to have on the eve of the draft. We thank you so much and can't thank you enough for joining us here on Press Row.
Always good talking to you guys.
Thank you. Buddy Nix, the former UTC coach and Bills GM and Chargers assistant GM, joining us here on Press Row. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to ESPN 105.1 The Zone.